John that, hey, you've got it. I'm just kidding.
Got to let him know.
Okay, so now we're going to move into Castle.
Hey,
now,
Pam.
Yes?
Pam, I just thought I'd let Tamala know. We did have John on our show on June 6, 2011, and this is what he said.
Okay. Well, what do you think will happen with Lainey and Esposito? What would you like to see happen in season four and beyond with the two?
Well, I think what's going to happen with Lainey and Esposito is going to be we're going to practice making babies a lot. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Lainey and Esposito. I think that their relationship is still so new that it's probably going to have to be explored even further, even deeper. We'll see. But, you know, since I haven't gone in and talked to the writers yet, I still don't know. I haven't given them any ideas, and they haven't given me any ideas. So I just know that I'll be pushing for a lot more skin-on-skin scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm just saying that Body. Tamala Jones has some of the soft. Yeah, she's got some of the softest skin I've ever touched. It's amazing skin. It's amazing.
We'll be asking her what she thinks of you. She's coming on in a few weeks to talk about you. Great.
I wouldn't change anything about Esposito. I think he's right where I want him. I got him right where I want him.
What would you add to your character if you could? Anything?
More love scenes with Lainey.
I think that guy has love on the brain there, Cheryl.
Oh my God. John is such a lightweight perv. It's not even funny. That guy. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you, sexual harassment, nothing. John will come by and grab my little burgers and squeeze them. And be like, oh, my God, that's so nice. Or he'll rub my skin, and he's like, what do you do? Like, what is it? Why is your skin so soft? He even had his girlfriend come and rub my skin.
Oh,
and she was like, it is soft. And I'm like, John, you got to stop this. You got to knock it off.
Bring the family over to visit your skin.
My God. He's one of the sweetest guys ever. He's a Scorpio like me, so we're very, very flirtatious, both of us. And we have such great chemistry because of it. I truly believe it's because we're both two flirty people. But John would like more love scenes. He's been very vocal about that around the set. So I'm sure we will be seeing some more love scenes.
Well, I liked last night where Lainey and Esposito had a little bickering going on because we got to see you in a few more scenes and see that dynamics working there between the two of you. There is love there still, Tamala.
Yes,
they're still hot for each other, even though they're bickering. So what would you change, add or take away about your character of Lainey if you could, or would you?
I like her the way she is.
Well,
I like Lainey the way that she is. I think that all of the writers, along with Andrew, are amazing with how they dissect each and every character. But I love the way they've grown Lainey. They've grown her the way that the fans wanted to see her grow. They read all of the blogs, all of the boards that people post, even on
right.
Twitter, and that is the great thing. So they'll take what they want, what people want to see, and then they'll take a little bit of me and throw it in there. So that little sassiness that you see, Lainey, that's what you see me do, slapping John's hand, don't touch my booty anymore. it's a great combination, so I love what they did, and they've definitely kept her extremely real. You know, she knows her job. She's cool about it. It's an everyday thing. She also is in love with Esposito. She's cool about it, and she's trying to stay cool. She's just a cool girl. I wish I was as cool as Lainey. I really do.
I like Lainey. I'd like her to be my friend. She seems like she just has it so together and so much fun. And we are hoping, well, we'll ask that question a little later down the line about her and Beckett, because they showed them much more in season one and two as buddies and girl talk, and we've missed that the last couple of seasons. So if you were writing Lainey's backstory, if you were the writer on Castle, what would her backstory be like? Why did she become a mortician or an Emmy or whatever you want to call it? Corner.
I think that maybe her grandmother, something to do with her grandmother. I heard an interesting story about what Angelina said about what she would have done, Angelina Jolie.
Uh-huh.
She would have been a mortician because she hated the way that they dressed her grandmother or made her grandparents, somebody up that passed away when she was young. With acting, wasn't it? She was going to do that. That could be something for Lainey. You know, like maybe she didn't like the way that the people made her grandfather, I mean her grandmother, grandfather, they labeled her death. It was something else. They found out later. So maybe she's like, I'm going to be the person in the family and in the world to make this right. We're going to get the right diagnosis of what happened to this individual. We're not going to ever misdiagnose anything. I'm going to learn everything I need to know, and I'm going to do it right. And I see how anal Lainey is about her work. It's like, don't second question me. Don't do that. You know, I'm telling you what it is. You know.
You know, Lainey is a very young doctor, a young ME, and she seems to be very experienced. So she is in New York, of all places, to be a coroner, an ME. So her backstory would be, where do you think she grew up? Did she grow up in New York, do you think, if you could write her story of where she came from, Boston?
I think that Lainey would have come from somewhere in the South, you know?
Okay.
Like this is her. I have to get out of here, and this is a small town, and I got to make something big of myself. That would make sense to me, her being who she is and being so young, because a lot of times when you grow up in small towns, everybody is someone's cousin, sister's brother, and it just stops right there unless you get out of there.
Right.
And maybe she got out of there young and studied her butt off and got through college and was like, okay, I'm going to be at the top of my class in everything that I do. So I don't ever have to go and just be there when I don't want to be there.
She's a hard worker because we only see her in the morgue most of the time. We got to get Lainey out and about. It was nice to see her going out on a date with Esposito and Ryan and all them. But we got to get Lainey out with Beckett and so forth. But here's the deal. So what would you like to see happen in the future for Dr. Lainey Parrish on Castle for, say, the next 10 episodes of Castle and going into season 5? Because we know we're going to get a season 5. You know, they're going to do it. And we just got to get renewed. You know that's going to happen. Syndication's coming. So what would you like to see happen with Lainey this season, the last back 10 that we have so far? Because right now we only have 22 ordered instead of 24. Hopefully they'll get two more. So what would you like to see happen this season going into next season for Lainey? Anything.
I would like Lainey and Esposito to definitely get back together. I would like there to be some alarm raised between them. You know, now that they're back together, maybe they can't keep their hands off each other, and there's a little slip up. Maybe Lainey thinks she's pregnant by Esposito.
That'd be so cool.
Yes. Maybe there'll be a Castle baby. Maybe there won't. I would love to see
that. And a Splainy baby. It's Splainy
yes.
away. Yeah. So what do you think? Who do you think made the first move in this? Show on her sound effects. She has sound effects she uses all the time to just, you know, shake you up. So who do you think made the first move in the Explainy relationship? You heard what John says. So do you think you made the first move, Lainey, or do you think he did, Esposito? He seems a little shy.
That is the funny part. In real life, John is really shy, and so is his character. I think Lainey grabbed his butt and was like, hey, you need to come over here and give me a kiss and stuff, Lainey.
Cheryl.
Sorry.
I love it.
Wait
till later. She's got surprises for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you made her forget what she was saying, and you made me forget what I asked.
Yeah, like,
so who do you think?
What I asked.
You asked who made the first move.
Oh, yeah, who made it? So you think it was Lainey?
Lainey.
Lainey was in that morgue too long by herself with those dead bodies, so she trapped Esposito in there. Didn't he say something like she trapped him in there, Cheryl, on our interview? He did. He said she trapped him in there and went after him. Oh, that's funny. So That's funny. So what do you hope will happen with this Blaney-Lenito romance? What do you want to see happen between them? I think you just answered that pretty much, that you want to see them get together and have some storyline down the road for them as a couple. And
yeah.
So, yes?
I would love that. I would love to see them definitely get back together and then something else exciting happen in their world.
Wouldn't it be fun to see her get maybe a promotion as head coroner or something, and that come between them, that he doesn't want her to spend, because he's got a busy job and she has a busy job, and they won't get to see each other that often, and he'll kind of, she'll be making more money than him or something. That'd be kind of neat. Something along those lines. Could be, huh?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. So how would you describe Lainey's friendship with Beckett? Is she a coworker, an acquaintance friend outside of work, or are they good friends?
I think they're good friends. I think that both of them are very guarded and respect that space. A lot of people wondered why Beckett didn't call Lainey. And
I
understood, because I'm like that with my friends in real life. Sometimes, you know, when something is so bad that I'm going through, or I just need to work it out through myself, they won't hear from me. They will not
so
hear
you
from
hide
me.
Out.
So, like, until I work it out. And then when I'm ready to talk about it, I'll tell them everything from start to finish, and how I'm sorry I wasn't a good friend. I took that break from you, but I didn't have a choice. I had to get through it. And I think that that's something that Beckett would do.
But do you think that Beckett and Lainey have talked yet, or Beckett's still working out her demons? And because Castle and Lainey were in the ambulance, if this is a real story, like we're acting like this really happened to these people, it's not a TV show. If they were really in the ambulance, wouldn't Castle and Lainey be like checking on Beckett, watching her a little bit and talking to each other in the hallway, like, what, how's she doing today? Or have you noticed anything, especially after Killshot, she's supposed to go through her post-traumatic stress disorder and all that. Wouldn't Lainey being her buddy and Castle be kind of talking behind the scenes, and we just don't see that, and we figure they've been keeping in touch, everybody's watching her, I think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Andrew kind of did that when we were all inquiring, like, where she was. It was like she didn't even call Castle either, you know?
Right.
And so I think that they were trying to cover that in just that conversation that was happening amongst all of us. But, you know, they only have so many minutes to get everything in, and they try their best to get everything in. Not to say that that won't be revisited sometime. You know, Andrew's very good about that. He'll Quentin Tarantino you in a second with, you know, I'll go back at the end and bring you back to this point at the beginning and give you a
mirror. The mirror reflection, he does that. But season one and two, we had a little bit more of the girls together, and they're talking and chatting, and I just missed that. I missed the funny jokes between them and the banter, and her setting her up for a date, or them talking in the morgue about going out for a drink, and those kind of fun things used to be there for the first few seasons, and kind of miss them. So who on the set, if anyone, would you like to work with or have more scenes with if it was up to you?
Oh, my goodness. I would love to have a scene with Miss Susan Sullivan.
All right, my girl. That's my girl. Woo-hoo! We've had her on here twice. She is the
love
most
her.
Adorable. I adore her.
I adore
wonderful.
Her. I barely ever get to see her. But when I do, it's either she's leaving and I'm coming to work, or vice versa. Mm. And when she sees me, she always greets me with such a huge warm hug, and we talk real talk for that 10 minutes. What's going on in your life? Who are you seeing? We get it all in that 10 or 15 minutes. And to leave her, I'm so sad that I have to go to work and she's leaving because I want more time with her. Like, I effing love that woman. So
she is a wealth of vintage knowledge and funny stories. I could just listen to her go on forever. You know, the time just goes by because she has a humorous story, or a story for everything that's happened in her life. And that's somebody who is very entertaining to for an actor. You know, she's just like a wealth of information of wonderful things that happened in her life. And you have had a lot of stuff happen in your life. So I think both of you will end up having wonderful, which she, of course, is a lot older, but you'll have wonderful stories to tell, good and things that you you know, persevered through in your life to look back on for acting in the future. I think that will, you know, help you with a lot of stuff that you're going to come up with dramatic-wise or whatever. But
what I really love about Susan is that she shares her knowledge. She doesn't keep it in, and she goes back and gives back to the community of actors that she works with. So I really admire her in the fact that she grows in her own abilities, but also remembers those around her and helps them with their lines. I love the feedback she's given us several times about key things about being an actor as a person as well. And her, I'll never forget it. She always says the key is to listen. Mm-hmm. So I just love her. We need her back again, too. We love you, too, Pamela. Go ahead.
And Pamela, of course, is helping mentor the girls. So she's doing her thing her way, and Susan is doing her thing through the Actors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild. So how do you memorize your lines for Castle? Any tricks or shortcuts to the medical jargon?
Oh, my God. I mean, it depends on the mood that I'm in. Sometimes I'll make up a rap in my mind. And, like, there'll be a beat in my mind, and I'll do the words, and... kind of helps me if I'm in a musical mode, or I'll just go in the mirror and I'll just say it over and over again, and then I'll talk to myself. You would think I was crazy if you were in here at times listening. Like, okay, no, that didn't sound real. Say it again and do it right this time. So I'll say the line again. I'm like, oh no, girl, are you tripping right now? Say that again and do not say it like that. Don't put too much on it. I mean, I'm literally saying this out loud and doing the emotions in the mirror. I am a drama queen, but I have different methods to how I'm feeling. I'm either going to talk to myself in the mirror and get it down a million times, or I'll sing it, rap it.
I forgot to mention earlier, and I apologize to Maureen, who did tweet us during the show, during the segment on your aneurysm. Her Twitter name is Little Mo M 1129. She wanted us to tell you thank you very much for sharing your brain surgery aneurysm story. Maureen's sister survived a brain tumor, and she wants to thank you publicly for your public awareness about brain issues. So I wanted to add that in. I'm sorry I missed that earlier. Hey, real quick, maybe it's from the Heat books, you know, the Nikki Heat, Naked Heat, all the heat. I don't know. But should we, the audience, try to push the girls' night out for Lainey and Beckett even more? Or should we just have patience because something's already in the works?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could tell you to push it, but I feel it coming because there's stuff that Andrew has that, oh, it's a huge surprise for you guys.
Don't spoil it.
I feel a Diana Ross song coming on. Between Beckett and Lainey, you know?
Oh, my goodness. They're coming up with some really great stuff, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed at all. I think you're going to get the girls' night out. You can definitely feel free to tweet it or write in or whatever
ABC
makes you comfortable,
advisory.
But I think it's coming.
Okay.
That ABC advisory board panel that we're all members of, they give us polls all the time on you guys, what do we like to see, who's our favorites and all that. So we make sure everybody out there that's a listener, that's a member, goes out and fills out those Castle ones because that's how you tell them what you want.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, there's many person out there who believe Lainey might be the actual one to convince Beckett to let Castle in, if you will. What does Lainey think about Castle?
Lainey loves Castle. She would love to see her best friend hook up with someone, but she also understands that Beckett doesn't really quite know what she wants in a man yet. Mm-hmm. And she can't argue with that. That's how I view Lainey and Beckett and Castle all in one. But I think that she feels that at the end of the day, after all of this is said and done, those two are going to be together. It's just a matter of time.
So Lainey is a casket shipper, maybe?
Oh, she's a heavy casket shipper.
Good. Bravo.
The other person that I skipped was Genevia, who was at Comic-Con. Remember, she went and replaced Beckett up on the stage. She's dying to know what you did with the photo you took of her on stage at the Castle panel.
Oh, my God. Did I not tweet that?
Her name is Lady Genevia.
Lady Genevieve.
So go tweet it later, and then she'll get her picture.
Okay. If she still has it on her camera in her files and knows where it is. That was July 21st or something, uh-huh. The castle panel, and she was the girl that took, you mean, Stana's place and Nathan read to her or something?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. So, Tamala, were you surprised that Castleby Games – I can't even talk tonight. I'm struggling with the cold. Were you surprised that Castle became such a hit when you began the series? You know, or did you know, did you guys feel it, or did you just wait anxiously to see if it was going to take? Were you surprised now that it's a hit?
I was definitely surprised. I had no clue what was going on. I just knew to show up at 4:30 a.m. in the morning and be ready. I was definitely surprised and so happy. I'm so happy that I am involved in something that people really love, that they really appreciate. Like, that makes me feel so good every day. Everyone always asks me, why are you so happy? You're just laughing all the time. I'm like, you guys don't get it. This is the best time of my life right now.
Great job, good money, study job, fun, perfect weather. It's great.
Fans are wonderful. I get good gifts. Mel Girl from Australia came out to visit Cindy. My Maltesers and my black licorice sticks, and I get all kind of goodies.
She's in the queue. She's about. I'll be asking her. She'll be asking you a question here shortly.
So you go to work singing, knee bone connected to the thigh bone, hand bone. You go to work singing all the way. You know, ching ching as you guys make money every week.
She doesn't practice with the little operation game, Pam.
Yeah, well, she could go, you know, I have a coteus morphus on the, you know, the words they have to use, especially in soap operas, these doctors. I'm surprised. Do you laugh a lot, Tamala, when you start doing that, when you guys start filming? Do you and Nathan and Stana get tickled about the words you have to come up with? And
no. I am so hard on myself.
Oh.
There's no laughing. As soon as I start messing up, I'm talking about I drop the F-bomb so many times. People always wonder why am I not in the bloopers, because children watch them. And you can't see any of my bloopers. I
G-rated.
Get so frustrated when I don't get it out right.
Oh.
That's funny, Cheryl, you and your... So now we're going to leave Castle, and we're going to head for Christmas, because we're coming up to Christmas, 20 more days or 19 days till Christmas. So, like I said, Christmas is in a few weeks. So I want to ask you a couple of questions about your favorite movies and different things, just for fun, because it is Christmas time. What was your favorite Christmas movie growing up and favorite Christmas movie now?
Oh, my God. My favorite Christmas movie, there's two. I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
mm-hmm.
and I love The Three Little Bears. The Three Bears.
Oh.
And the Comey. I've never forgotten their names. And the Mother Bear and Santa Claus. I still watch that to this day.
Oh, boy. I do, too. Rudolph, too. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So, favorite Christmas memory, child or now, or recently? That you can remember?
I remember, I think I was like 6 or 7. I had gone to my cousin's house, and she had this big Barbie mansion, and I was like, I got to have that. And my mom was like, well, who's going to buy it? Nobody has any money for that. So I was sad. I was so sad. Christmas came around. They were like, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, whatever you guys give me, it'll be okay. I mean, just bummed out. Like, oh, I'm never going to see that Barbie dollhouse. Christmas Day came. It was set up.
Oh.
Furniture. I had an elevator. I was like, I was just
an
so
elevator.
Excited. Huh?
An elevator?
It was an elevator. It was her mansion. It was like, I wish I lived in Barbie's mansion. That mansion was awesome. And she had a Corvette. And she just was like, oh, the clothes.
I had the Corvette. I had the pink Corvette.
And she had a Ken doll. The Ken doll.
Everything. I was so happy. I mean, that was like the best. And then I had a big wheel waiting for me outside.
The big wheel, those little big wheels, the three-wheeler things that you spin out
yes.
with, the big wheels. You pull the brake and you spin out. Oh.
Yeah, I spun out. I mean, I was in the hospital so much that they thought my mom was abusing me. And they came to the house and watch me play all day, and I kicked the bucket so many times, getting on that big wheel, jumping out of trees, busting my lip. Like, I was such a tomboy. But that was my best Christmas.
That sounds good. So, favorite Christmas recipe you make every year for Christmas, something handed down through the family tradition that you guys always have to bring or show up with, or you make because somebody makes you make it, like your Aunt Betty or something. Anything?
There's two things. There is my liquored down eggnog.
Ooh, liquored down eggnog.
Sounds good to me.
You need a sound effect for that one. Ooh.
I love this eggnog. There's a little bit of a Kahlua, a little bit of a brandy, and just maybe a shot or two of Bailey's. It's very creamy. And then we put some cinnamon, just a little bit, and then the rest is nutmeg. It's so much nutmeg in there, it looks like brown eggnog. Along with the liquor, but
brown
it is
brown eggnog. Now that I have
holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel. Cary Grant. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's good. That and a peach cobbler. You got to have those.
Oh, yeah. Good. Now, what about, you said you like to cook? That's from Halloween.
Sorry.
You like to cook, so what's your favorite thing to cook or eat there at home? That's not Christmassy, just a favorite thing to cook and eat.
Oh, I make this Jamaican curry seafood dish that is amazing. I use lobster, Maine lobster meat, king crab legs. I like cut them in half or however big they are. I cut them in fours. Shrimp, potatoes, just a little bit, a carrot, thyme.
You're making me hungry.
Curry.
I know. I haven't ate yet. When's dinner?
That's so good. I love that. The curry seafood.
Well, Tamala, when is supper? We'll be over. What time tonight? I got to come, Cheryl's got to come from Kansas, and I've got to come from Hearst Castle. So what do you think? 5 hours from now, we'll meet up?
5 hours. Come on over.
Now, what's your favorite New Year's memory? Do you have one, or the worst catastrophe that ever happened on New Year's or Christmas, something crazy that happened, anything?
Last New Year's, New Year's Eve, I had fun in the beginning, and then I ended up getting food poisoning.
Oh, geez.
I was on New Year's Day in the hospital looking at the doctors, like, really? is this how you bring in the New Year's? Other than that, I mean, all my New Year's have been fun. I had a real good one in Miami one year. I brought my little brother, Craig. He had more fun than me, I think. He was bringing girls into the VIP section and popping bottles. I was dancing on top of tables. We were just bad. We were bad.
So what do you think you're going to do this year for Christmas? You don't have to tell us where you're going, but do you have plans to travel, stay home?
She's going to Miami. That's what she told me.
Oh, yeah, because we don't know if that was kidding around on KTLA or if she's really going.
Oh, no, I'm going to Miami.
Oh, going to Miami. Hit the beaches.
I need to go somewhere not too far so I can get back in time for work, but warm because it is cold like New York here in L.A., cold.
Yes, I agree.
Really?
Windy.
Wow.
Yes. So finish this sentence for me. All I want for Christmas is?
My two front teeth.
Well, you have those now, but, yeah, you want to save them and keep them. That would help with acting.
Yes. All I want for Christmas is a Chanel classic flat bag.
A Chanel. Now, let's tell that to everybody now. If you're Tamala's relatives or her agent or publicist listening to this, she wants a Chanel. What is it?
It's the classic Chanel flap bag. Give me the medium-sized one. I will take it black with the platinum hardware or the gold hardware is fine. But that's what I really want. I personally don't think I should be buying that. That's a very high purchase, very pricey, and I tend to be cheap. But anyone else willing to get that for me, I would love it.
Well, any boyfriends out there, this is what she wants. honey babies out there, sugar plums, whatever. This is what Tamala wants. Now, we're going to jump to acting, and then after we do some questions about acting, I won't ask you all of them because we're already at the hour mark, and then we'll